This is one of the few times that I can recall where the Lord would have me preach on the same topic in a very short amount of time. And a few weeks ago, I preached on four steps to receiving peace from God. And the Lord just spoke to my heart and he said, I want you to preach about peace. And I'm thinking, Lord, I just preached about peace. But that was clear from him. Someone needs to hear the message of peace. Job chapter 3 and verse number 26, the only verse that I intend to use out of the book of Job. And I want you to familiarize yourself with this book. If you've not read it, you need to read it. It's a powerful account. Job 3:26 says this, I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest, but only turmoil. The word peace means freedom from disturbance. It means tranquility. It means calm. It means restfulness. The word turmoil means a state of great disturbance, confusion, or uncertainty. Trouble, unrest, disruption, chaos. Job was faithful to God. And God even bragged about him to Satan himself. While God allowed the devil to test Job's faithfulness, the belief in Job's culture was that if one was a recipient of bad things, it was the result of God's curse or God's disapproval of your life. That's what the culture taught. If you read the entire book, and as I mentioned, I encourage you to do that, you will realize that this was not the case. Through all of Job's losses of family, his friends, his property, and his declining health, Job maintained his faithfulness and his steadfastness to God. Job's world had been turned upside down. If anyone had a right to feel like he was under attack, he certainly had that right, because he was under attack. He was under attack. He was leading a life that was peaceful and it was just right. But now this upheaval of his life was out in the open for everyone to see, and he just had turmoil and chaos constantly. He was living a peaceful, quiet life, and then all of a sudden, everything just changed. It seemed overnight. He went from a life of peace, and he said here, I have no peace. The peace that he walked in, I have no quietness. I have no rest. I can't have anything but turmoil. That's what's happened. Everything in this satanic attack caused him to question why. He knew that he was living for God while following the Word. He knew this. And I believe that there is someone here today that has experienced a similar occurrence in your life. You've done your best to live by the Word of God. You've experienced the peacefulness and the calm in your spirit that only the joy of the Lord can bring. But then out of nowhere, something catastrophic, something unpredictable or chaotic has rocked you to your core. Maybe it's a bad report from the doctor. Maybe it's a trusted friend or family that has betrayed you. Maybe someone close to you has passed away. Maybe there's a sense of meaninglessness and overwhelming emotions of not fitting in with the people around you. Maybe there's guilt that has eaten away at your insides that nobody knows about. Maybe there are deep wounds or scars that have not healed and you've hidden from everyone. Maybe there's feelings of loneliness, depression, or isolation making you wonder whether anyone even cares. If any or all of these have hit home with you, I'm here to tell you that in spite of the turmoil that you have faced, whether it's happened recently or years ago, maybe even decades ago, maybe you've never recovered and you're right in the middle of them right now, there is peace, and His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. When Peter was summoned to Cornelius' house, here is what he said in Acts chapter 10 and verse number 34. I don't know if I put those scriptures up there, did I? Oh, did I? Okay. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. I thought I did, but I couldn't remember. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears Him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel announcing the good news of, here it is, peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. There is peace through Jesus Christ. Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, let them know that the division and turmoil that existed between the Jews and the Gentiles, or the non-Jewish people, was no longer there. The Gentiles had been on the outside of God's covenant promise. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 13, he says this, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Verse 14 says, for He Himself is our peace. He Himself, meaning Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He Himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. He has destroyed the barrier. Jesus is your peace. Hold on to Him. Cling to Him. When turmoil or unrest or chaos or unwelcome emotions appear in your life, remind yourself of what this scripture says. He has destroyed the barrier. If He can destroy the barrier of hostility, then He can destroy the barriers in your life to you receiving peace, because Jesus is our peace. Mark chapter 4 and verse number 36. Actually, I meant to start with verse 35. I don't think I put 35 up there. Verse 35 says, that day when evening came, He said to His disciples, let us go over to the other side. Let us go over to the other side. Verse 36 says, leaving the crowd behind, they took Him along just as He was. Mark 4, 36 through 41. Just as He was in the boat, there were also other boats with Him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. The waves were crashing over the boat, filling up the boat with water. And verse 38 says, Jesus was in the stern. How many knows what the stern is? It's the back part of the boat. The back part of the boat, that's where Jesus was. And He was asleep, sleeping on a cushion. Jesus wasn't worried. What did He say at the beginning of before they got in the boat? He said, let us go to the other side. Basically, it was, wake me up when we get there. He had no problems going to sleep. But the disciples woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care?" Sometimes we can think, "Lord, don't you care? Look at what I'm going through. Don't you care? You don't seem to be around. You don't seem to be right in the middle of my problems." And then he said this in verse 39. He got up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." The King James Version, he says, "Peace, be still." And the wind died completely. The wind died down and it was completely calm. "Quiet, peace, be still." He spoke right to the very problem. The thing that was causing them to just be chaotic and not know how to deal with this. They were men who knew how to handle a boat. Some of them were fishermen. They've been on the water their whole lives. They did this for a living. And yet, they were facing something that was too big for them to handle. And Jesus looked out and said, "Peace, be still." Amen. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. Picture this. The storm, the worst storm that you can think of. Can you imagine? You see the worst storm and all of a sudden, somebody says, "Go away. Peace, be still." And all of a sudden, no wind, sunshine, no clouds, no rain, just like that. That'd be freaky, wouldn't it? That's what they thought. They thought, "This is creepy. I don't understand." They asked the Lord, "Don't you care?" And then he did something about it, and then they were just totally shocked. He said to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Why are you so afraid?" They looked at the problem. They looked at the wind. They looked at the waves and they were fearful. And Jesus asked, "Why are you afraid?" In other words, you don't have to be afraid. Do you still not believe? You've seen all of the things that I have done already. You've seen all of these miracles and yet you're still afraid and you don't think I can handle it. Do you still have no faith? And verse 41 says, they were terrified. And they asked each other, "Who is this?" One version says, "What manner of man is this?" I mean, we've never seen anybody like this before. "Even the wind and the waves obey him." He is Jesus. He is your peace over every turmoil and every situation in your life. And if he can stand in a boat and look out over the sea and said, "Peace be still," and it just goes away just quickly like that, you can have faith and you don't have to think that he can't handle anything that comes your way, because he can. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. This is a verse that I used a few weeks ago. It says this: "Do not be anxious about anything." What does anxious mean? It means to be uptight, to be rattled, to be just so overwrought. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation." Somebody say, "Every situation."
Every situation.
In every situation. That means all the time, whatever it is, by prayer and petition. Prayer is talking to God. Petition is bringing your needs to the Lord, whatever it is, with thanksgiving, with a spirit of thankfulness because of who He is, present your request to God. When you do this, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ." Let the peace of God, which transcends, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If there's ever been a time that we need our hearts and our hearts and our minds guarded in Christ Jesus, it's today. You see, what the enemy of your soul will try to do is he will try to isolate you with your situation. He will try to make you feel like that you are going through this alone and that you can't tell anybody because it's too embarrassing to speak of. It's too this or it's too that or it happened a long time ago. There are people today that are bound up in their emotions. They are bound up in their relationships because of some abuse that happened to them decades ago, and they are crippled today because of the feeling that they have. They have never been able to release what happened to them. May I tell you this morning that what happened to you then is not who you are today. And the enemy of your soul wants to try to tie you back to whatever that was, and he wants to try to make you associate with that and live that each and every day. And it just eats away at your soul. It eats away at who you are today. But who you are today has nothing to do with what happened to you or what someone else did to you. Who you are today is in Jesus Christ. You are a new creation because the old has gone and the new has come. The old things are passed away and the new is here today, and it's here to stay. He tries to isolate you and get you alone with your feelings, get you alone with your hurts. And whenever you're encouraged to take them to the cross and leave them there, the old song that says, bring your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Leave them there. Maybe you're going through a tough situation right now. Take them to the Lord and leave him there. I remember that a number of years ago, our children were small and we were going through a really difficult time. I think it had something to do with our finances because we've had different periods where we just, the money we had and the bills we had just didn't match up. And it was tough. And I can remember there were times. There was one specific time whenever we were at church, and we didn't tell anybody because, you know, who wants to go around saying, we don't have any money, we can barely buy food, and we can barely pay our light bill, you know? Nobody wants to tell anybody that. But I remember a guy came up to me at church. We hadn't told anyone about it. And he said this to me. He pulled me aside and he said, the Lord told me to tell you that you need to lay it down and not pick it back up. Amen. Lay it down and not pick it back up. And I thought, wow, that's really what I've been doing. Is I've been saying I've been leaving it, and I've been talking to the Lord about it, but I would go back and I would pick it back up, and I would. And the challenge is in order to receive real true peace from the Lord, is you've got to lay it down at the altar and you've got to leave it there and step away, turn your back on it, and walk away from it. I understand that there may be situations that you may have to deal with and circumstances and residual effects that you may have to act upon because of things that happened there, but only do that when necessary. If you have to address something because of what happened there, then he will give you the strength and the peace to do it. But you were not designed to bear the load of everything that happened. You were not designed to do that. You need the peace of God that passes all understanding. When you have the peace of God that passes all understanding, the word says that he will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He stands watch over you as a child of God. How would it be if Jesus, the Son of God, stands watch over your life? And when the devil comes and he tries to attack, the Lord says, no, I don't think so. because I'm standing guard over this child of God. And that's exactly what he does when we surrender to his lordship. When we surrender our situations, when we surrender our hurts, when we surrender all of those things to him, that's exactly what Jesus does. He does that. Jesus is your peace. You don't have to go very far to find the peace that Jesus gives. He's as close as you calling on his name and surrendering to him. First and foremost, he will deliver you from sin in your life. Jesus died that so that you would not have to pay the penalty that sin brings. Sin, while pleasurable at the time, only leads to destruction and more chaos and turmoil. And Jesus will be your refuge from sin and your only safe haven of peace. And secondly, when you know that you've done your best to live for Jesus, but you wonder why there is turmoil in your life, you are not alone. While some turmoil happens because of poor decisions that we've made, sometimes the devil just goes on attack mode, as was the case in Job's situation. I want to challenge you to surrender today to the peace of God, and don't be afraid. Let the peace that Jesus brings to your life overflow today, because he will guard your hearts and your mind against this turmoil. Jesus is your peace. You can go through the list, whatever it is. You don't have to believe the report that someone else gave you. You don't have to believe your own thoughts. You don't have to believe your own fears. Jesus said this in Matthew 6:33. He said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," and all of these things, talking about all of the things that life needs, all of your needs that you have, he will take care of them when you put him first. I remember as a child watching on TV, there was a kids program, and their first motto was, "Put God first, and others second, and yourself last." And our culture today has twisted that around to put yourself first, because whatever you want for yourself is far more important than anything else. And it has caused a culture of selfishness to be so enlarged. You don't have to teach selfishness to children. They learn it all on their own. It's mine, and you can't have it. I didn't want to play with it till I saw you playing with it. But it's mine. That's what children do, and you have to teach them about what it means to be unselfish, what it means to put someone else before you. This culture of selfishness has caused the breakup of marriages. The culture of selfishness has caused people to be disillusioned by what they think their relationship with God should be. It's caused people who are selfish to look for churches that will teach the selfish gospel. How is that possible, Pastor? The Bible's full of it. When we put ourselves above the Word of God, when we put ourselves above what God wants in our lives. Doesn't matter what the Bible says, it matters what I want. And I want to find somebody who's going to affirm what I want. There will never be peace in that culture of selfishness. Jesus put you first. He put me first. He put all of us first when he went to the cross. If he was thinking of self-preservation, he didn't do a very good job of it. But that's not what he was thinking of. He was thinking of preservation for humanity and all of mankind, so that the love of God could be shown, and that the peace that he gives. Now, I realize that we cannot base our spiritual life on feelings. Feelings can be misleading. We base our spiritual walk on the Word of God. But there is something to be said that when you lay your head down on your pillow to go to sleep, and you know in your heart, whether you may feel it or not, but you know in your heart, you know what the Word says, that you can rest assured. This lady right here goes around the house every night and makes sure that every door is locked before we go to bed. And she's found sometimes where it might not have been, probably because her husband didn't lock it. Found a key in the front door one time. Just came in and shut the door and left the key there. Have you ever done that? Yeah. What's worse is when you find it that way the next morning. When you lay in bed at night and you know, I've done everything. Everything is locked up tight. I don't have to worry about that. But if you didn't check and you lay in bed and you wonder, did I check that door? I don't know if I checked that door. And it's a cause for concern. But when everything is right and everything is done, and you can lay there and you know that I've done everything that I know to do. Now, locking the doors does not keep someone from breaking into your home. We know that. But it makes it more difficult. And it gives you a sense of security. There's a device that we have on the pickup truck called, it's not called the club, but it's kind of like that. You guys have seen it. It's a bar and it locks it on there. And that had a brother that had a truck similar to that stolen from a Walmart parking lot. Now, that was Annette's daddy's truck, and I don't want to be responsible for having anything happen to it if it's under my care, especially, but I don't want anything to happen to it at all. And so we bought that device and put it on there. Does it keep somebody from stealing the vehicle? No, it doesn't. But somebody comes by, and they look and they see that in there, and they think, it's going to take me a little time to get that thing off of there if I really want this vehicle. I think I'll go on down here and I'll look for another one. That's what it does. And so when Jesus is guarding your hearts and your minds and giving you peace, then the devil comes and he looks there and he says, you know, this is going to be a fight. I think I'm going to go down to somebody else who doesn't have their guard up. Folks, you can have your guard up because your guard is Jesus Christ. Amen. He is your peace. Amen. He is your peace. This morning, maybe you're here and you've had a situation that has happened in your past. Maybe you've had a situation that's happened recently. Maybe you're going through some kind of hurt or some kind of despair. First and foremost, make sure that you have renounced the sin in your life. Make sure that you've surrendered every part of your life over to the Lord. And if you know that you have done that, then make sure that you surrender all of the situations over to Him. Every emotion, every difficulty, every thought, everything in the past that has caused pain. And bring it to Him. Bring your burden to Him and leave it there. He wants to relieve you. He said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because my yoke is light and my burden is easy. Meaning that I will make this whole bunch easier for you, because I'm going to take the bigger share and you won't have to. You're designed to walk with Jesus right next to you. And if you haven't had that reassurance and you think maybe he's been in the back part of the boat asleep all the time, let me assure you, he's not. He said, let us go to the other side. That means you're going through.
Yes.
You are not going to stay, but you are going through, and you're going through with the power and the peace that only Jesus can bring. Father, I thank you for your word today. And I ask, Lord, that you will just touch our hearts as we humble before you today. We ask, Lord, that you will just have your way. Let the peace of God that passes all understanding, Lord, just guard us today as we accept your will, as we accept what you want for our lives, as we surrender to you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.